so much we can do living for Christ. Once we get rid of religious rhetoric. I know I harp a lot about religion and religious rhetoric, but if you understand what religion has done in the name of Christ, you'd understand why I'm so bent out of shape about it. God is not religion. We keep turning back into rules and regulations, and that is not God. Yeah, there's things we don't do. It's not because we can't, it's because we shouldn't. And, you know, I don't know. There's right things to do, and there's things that the church should be focusing on more importantly. I'll tell you what, last week I obviously didn't have enough to get out of bed. I rolled around in and out of fevers all night, so it just wasn't a real good scenario. And anyhow, praise God. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. And but you know, I want to encourage everybody. You know, we got people that are still out, still sick, still dealing with some of this stuff. I've never had anything quite like it before, I'll be honest with you. And but pray for them. And you know, as we continue, I want you to continue praying for our president, our leaders. Whether I personally am totally proud of him for it. He stood up for our word to other people. And if you're not aware, I do realize there's a few people that aren't aware, the bombing of Syria. I told Angela, I said, I'm reminded back in 1983, another president took something in his hands and did it. And that leader went and crawled in a hole for 30 years and has only been brave enough to stick his head out of that hole in the last 10. So, let's continue to pray for our country. And as we uphold our word as a country, as Christians, we'll watch God's word come to pass in this country. God does not hate the United States. Like I said, we're the only nation in the world that was ever created because of people wanting to serve God. Every other nation was created for the greed. We took this country and said, people have the right to serve God how you want. So let's pray for our country. Because I know that wasn't an easy decision. And we need to stop the divisiveness now while we can. I'm going to just go ahead and pray, because I'll be honest with you, sometimes my thoughts are in and out right now. You can ask my family. Yesterday? Twice. Josh was like, Dad, that's twice in an hour you've done this. You've repeated something we just said. I was like, okay. And Angela says, well, boys, it's the medicine. It's the medication. Yeah, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. So let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord God, that you are the one true creator. And Lord, we do. We pray for this country. We pray for unity. We pray for strength for our leaders, courage to do that which is right. And Lord, we pray right now also that you will squelch the voice of those who are causing dissension and division amongst us, Lord. And Father, we thank you today for your provision in our lives. We present to you, Lord, our tithe and our offering. Lord, may it be holy to you. We present it to you and pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the children are dismissed. Well, before the little hiatus last week, we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And just what the whole these gifts mean, what they're for, and there's some things that, like I said, one of the things I guess this week I took some time and watched a program by a guy. He calls himself the Reluctant Prophet. And after hearing his story, I understand why he called himself the Reluctant Prophet. But one thing God has been stirring in me this last week is I want people to understand, first and foremost, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real and they have a purpose. But they should not ever be abused. We have freedom of religion in this country. When we force our religion onto somebody else, we have abused our freedom. Okay, I'm going to say something here that's probably going to make a lot of people mad, but if you're honestly a student of the Constitution, you will realize what I'm saying is absolutely correct. Madeleine Murray O'Hare was right. We cannot force people to pray. I can't force you to pray. And while you may say, well, we need prayer in school, that never stopped me from praying. I didn't need a teacher, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, I love our teachers. We've got some good teachers. But we've got some goofy teachers, too. And I will not say anything. Well, no, her husband was pointing to her. She's just crazy. We know her dad. No, but there's teachers. I don't want teaching my children how to pray. Okay? So, you know, we have great responsibility with that freedom. We also have the great responsibility with these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as I've said before, I've been in the church for a very long time. Okay, I from about the time of 8 years, that's about 1978 is when my mom got saved, and then we started going to church, and then very quickly we got indoctrinated into the charismatic realm, the full gospel realm, and you know, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen people that got healed at every service, and I'm talking about the ones that came in with crutches or wheelchairs, and next town down the road, they're in the same service, in the same wheelchair, and getting healed again. I've seen miraculous moves of God on people. I have seen people bona fide healed. I have heard the word of the Lord. I've heard people twist the word of the Lord for their personal gain. And the thing that God wanted me, because I take a stand on that. He wanted me to make sure that you understood I'm not against prophecy. I'm not against tongues. But there is responsibility with both of those. Okay? If somebody gets shot with a gun, who's responsible? First off, in my book, the owner of the weapon and the person holding the gun. Guns don't just go off by themselves. That is why I've taught my children, you don't ever point the gun at somebody. And the first thing they'll teach you in any concealed carry class is never point your barrel at anything you're not willing to destroy. So there is responsibility in gun ownership. There's responsibility in owning a car beyond insurance and maintenance. You're the one driving, thinking, Dad, the car just went across the white line and I hit that truck head on. Well, who's responsible? Who was the driver? You were. It's your fault. The cars do, well, I say that, and now we've got cars that have electric gas, electric steering. Everything's electric and can be controlled by a computer now. So I say that, and they're concerned about people taking over our cars and driving them. So, but there's that responsibility. My life has been touched for the good by prophecy, and I've had goofballs tell me things with prophecy. With prophecy, you have to properly interpret a prophecy. Everybody looks at this, at a prophecy, and is like, this is what's going to do. And, you know, next thing you know, we have got conjecture upon conjecture. You've got factions in the church. There's so many factions going on in the book, about the book of Revelation. What's going to happen in the end? I really don't give a rat's furry little bottom. I personally think sometimes we get too much prophecy and we freeze. We won't move for fear. Angela and I have been watching a program called Reign about Mary, Queen of Scots. And Nostradamus was the court seer, and he would give the Queen of France prophecies. And one of the prophecies was that if Mary married her son would die. Well, what Nostradamus failed to realize is he was probably going to die anyhow, whether she married him or not. So this create, because of an improper interpretation of prophecy, a whole schism happened that created a divide that never should have been there. We got the same thing happening with the book of Revelation. People wanting to create end time messages, which honestly, I caution anybody about jumping on every bandwagon. Anytime anybody's trying to sell you a new revelation on the word, how much is it costing you? Seriously. Well, I got this new DVD series, $50. Okay, that's great. What's the purpose of the new revelation? Is it to encourage people? See, the Word of God is supposed to encourage us and kind of propel us into living godly lives and to go forth, not to, the beast, oh my goodness, the beast, he's so bad. I don't want to go out. I don't want to go buy. Do I get a credit card? Do I get a barcode? What do I do? Listen, the mark is going to be obvious. Okay? At this juncture now, it will have to be in your face obvious because everybody in the world knows about the mark of the beast now. Don't worry about it. There's many things in the book of Revelation, first off, that have already happened. People fail to realize that some of that stuff has already occurred. And there's things that were yet to be opened up, I think have occurred. Because there's no timeline. We all look at it and we read it as, well, because this person studied it and said this happened. Well, this person is refusing to look at what is happening. They're waiting for a sign in the heavens to fall down and slap them in the side of the head and say, now we're here. We've been in the end times. Let me put it this way. It was so pertinent to the apostles. They were in the end times. It was so strong in them that when Caligula, the emperor of Rome at that time, rose up, he had a statue of himself created that was on its way to Jerusalem to be put in the temple. People knew about this. They fought against this. Even the rulers of Judea stood against, tried to divert it, and they eventually did. They kept it from happening because they knew what the Jews would do. So there's things that have indeed happened. Now, I'm not saying that everything's said and done. No, not even close. Keep your eyes on Israel. And if anybody's worried about Syria rising up, well, they're going to get Hezbollah on us and they're going to... Let them. Let them. Do you hear me? We have Israel on our side now. Israel isn't afraid of Hezbollah. Hezbollah launches hundreds of missiles into Israel and misses everybody. Israel launches one missile and kills 100 people. Whose side do you want to be on? It's a no-brainer for me. I want to be on the side who's got God on their side. Now, so prophecy is a great tool. Prophecy tells us of things to come, but does not bind us. There is prophecy that is contingent upon certain things happening and can be changed. It is called a warning prophecy. This is what's going to happen. A few years ago, I had a gentleman come to my office and he wanted to talk to me. And he, you know, I'll be honest with you, he's not really somebody that I gave two hoots about as far as spiritual gifts. But the guy told me, he said, God gives me dreams from time to time, and they come to pass. And he said, and I saw you and your motorcycle. And I saw your motorcycle wrecked and your family crying. So you know what he was getting to. You're going to wreck your motorcycle and get killed. Well, that goes through my head every time I got on it. I ain't going to be, can't lie about that. Can't tell you how many people were never looked to their left. But properly, God used it as a warning because I already knew my heart was hardening and I was becoming somebody different than he wanted me to be. And what I was becoming would ultimately kill me, take me away from my family and you. That was the number one reason that I got rid of my bike. Had nothing to do with fear. It had everything to do with the fact that I properly interpreted a word that somebody had. Because he told me, I don't want you to wreck your bike and die. Dude, I can wreck my truck and die too. I could be walking down a street and an airplane could fall right out of the sky. And just happen to hit right where I'm standing. It's a one in however gazillion chance, but there's a chance. So prophecy has to be properly interpreted. We have to pay attention to certain things. In the case of this man who is referred to as the reluctant prophet, the thing that set him against prophecy in whole was his wife was pregnant with their daughter, a child. And somebody came to the church and gave them a great big prophecy. Oh, their pastor. Okay, gave them a great big prophecy over this baby. They lost the baby. Do you know what that does? Forget brick wall. This was a steel wall that went up. And he wanted nothing. He even backed out of church. He wanted nothing to do with those. He said, I still love God. See, that's where people don't misinterpret some things. When there's been an abuse of that, like I don't know why God, and maybe God didn't give that man a prophecy, but here's what I've seen. People feel compelled to prophesy. You had better stinking doggone well know that it's a word from the Lord before you open your pie hole. You are responsible for every word that comes out of your mouth, especially when you say, thus saith the Lord. And I know a bunch of prophesiers, and that's a term that I created 20-some years ago, because that's what they are. like I said, I grew up in this, and I saw people, and that is why, I saw people come in, and they read what we're about to read here in 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul said to especially to prophesy. So they start sitting around prophesying over people. Anybody seen it? Oh, here, we call it the Bless Me Club. They'd get together and have their little Bless Me Club, and they'd prophesy over each other. And next thing you know, they are wackadoodles. One of the guys that I know in that, he got in, caught up in that, now holds seances. Okay? His ex-wife killed herself because she said, I can't live with the living, let alone the dead. She hung herself. The other woman that was involved with this, she'd come to church, tell people how bad her husband was to her and how he beat her, find out she started it. She was the violent one. He was just defending himself. To which I've always lived by the adage, I will never hit a lady until she proves otherwise. Listen, I ain't gonna stand there and let you beat me senseless. That's just stupid. I got ego. We had some dear friends years ago. We later found out they were Samoan. Anybody know anything about Samoans? The Rock is Samoan. They like to fight. And she would whoop her husband. She's a big girl. He's a big boy. We thought things were hunky-dory in their household. Not quite. They fought. I mean, bare knuckle. Prophecy is meant to edify you, to build you up, to help you along your way, not always direct your paths. Everybody said, you know, honestly, if I had known back when I was 16 that God was going to call me to the ministry, my path would have been different. I would have thought maybe I need to go to a seminary school. Maybe I need to go to a Bible school. That's not the path God put me on. There are a lot of other paths I tried to go down. I wanted to be a lineman. Well, I tried to do this, I tried to do that. The only path that ever opened its door was the military. God wanted me in the military. Because while I was in the military, God gave me the same word again of what he was going to do. And that word came at a good time. Because I hadn't totally sold myself out to rebellion. I was still trying to hold on. God knew I needed that word in order to fully hold on. Even though I was in rebellion, the word came at a proper time. I understood partially what the word meant. Because to be honest with you, when somebody tells you you're going to stand before kings and generals, you know, when you're a private in the Marine Corps and somebody says you're going to be standing before the man, that's usually not what you want to hear. You don't want to be standing before the general. But that's not what the word meant. And then later God would tell us that we would teach as others have not taught. Man, I was just like, okay, God, what's going on? Because see, at that time, God began telling her, I've given you favor in Morrow County. I gave you favor in Morrow County. I was still, I'm not going anywhere, God. Don't want to go back to Ohio. Even with that word, because I just started helping her. She was teaching the K through second grade on Wednesday nights, and I just started to help being her assistant. I thought, wow, God's going to do something. Nope. Wasn't much longer after that, about less than a year, I think it was, God told us it's time to go back. Told us when to come back. We came back. Over the years, things happened, and in one day, God used a man who said, I see you behind a pulpit, but don't go out and buy a tent just yet. I had no clue. I had no clue what was going to happen. I mean, we thought, oh, yeah, because, you know, our first inclination was, oh, we're going to be traveling ministers. She'll sing, and I'll get up and share 15 minutes, and that'll be the ministry. No clue what God was about to do. I understand why he meant don't go out and get stuff to travel. I wasn't called to travel. I like seeing new places. Be honest with you, though, I hate traveling. Hate being away from my family. So prophecy had its role. It had its purpose. But had I, years ago, had anybody came and told me, I see you behind a pulpit, and by the way, I would have rejected that word had God not given me a vision of me behind a pulpit. It's called confirmation. If you receive a word and something's not quite right, do as Mary and Joseph did. Put it on the shelf and watch it. There were many things they didn't understand about Jesus. And they just kind of scratched their head and pondered them. But when we live our lives, oh, I can't let you marry this person. You will die. You're letting fear rule your life. And prophecy does not create fear. Prophecy should encourage us. So what? I mean, this, and here's where the big schism has come into the church about the book of Revelation. Will Jesus return before the tribulation, during the mid-tribulation, or after the tribulation? Who cares? Your faith had better be so strong in God that if you have to stand toe-to-toe with the beast himself, God will give you the words to speak. You do not have anybody to fear. He is just an incarnation of a man. He's a man. The Bible even says about the devil, it says the prophecy about the devil is when you are revealed, people are going to look at you and say, really? You're the one who made nations tremble? But you know what the church has done? Because of the book of Revelation, the great dragon. Now listen, I'm not a science nerd or sci-fi geek, okay? I think dragons are cool, though. I really do. I think they're kind of cool. I would like to have a dragon. Except I don't want Pete's dragon. I got this funny feeling that would be God's humor for me. He'd give me Pete's dragon. I want the dragon from the Desolation of Smog. You know, the huge one. I want a dragon, man. But we live in fear of these things. Because we read in the Revelation where the great dragon with one sweep of its tail took a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the ground. And that great dragon is the devil. Woohoo! He's represented in that. Peter represented him as a lion. He said, as a roaring lion. So you know what we do now? We get chills. We think about the devil's a lion and I'm just this poor little sheep. Be what you want. You want to be a little coward running around in your wool, afraid of the devil, afraid of your own shadow, go ahead. Do not expect me to crawl in your little cubby of fear and live with you. Life is too short to live in fear and trying to hold on and live your life around prophecy. Live your life and the prophecy will happen. Are you following me on this? I know people that will not plan for the future because Jesus is going to return. Listen, I was told I probably wouldn't be make it to 20 before Jesus returned. I was like, God, no, I want to get married. That's what prophecy does when it's improperly handled. We live in fear. We're afraid to move. We're afraid to go out and live life. We were a part of a church that started out great, and the next thing I know, we're going to be alive during the tribulation, and there's this protected area over Chesterville, Ohio. It's only going to be Chesterville, maybe some other areas, but Chesterville's going to be the area. So we were getting up every kerosene lamp we could get. We were converting everything to this and that. Why? If the system shuts down, folks, there ain't going to be kerosene. This is what I love about all these end timers that are, well, we got to have these generators. I know people, they're stockpiling. They want these certain diesel engines that aren't electronic anymore. And they want all this stuff. They're storing water. They're storing fuel. How long do you think before I figure out you got food? Just saying. Hungry men do crazy things. I know you. It ain't going to be a zombie apocalypse. The growling you're going to hear is the hungry stomachs when they find out you've got food. I read A Last Babylon, one of the few books I read. Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff out there now. Why are people, they're living in fear? People are making millions of dollars on your fear. Well, we need to be prepared. Listen, if God can't feed you, you're screwed. You're done. If God can't take care of you, it's over. He took the children of Israel out in a land that was terrible. It was so bad. You need to understand that on their way down, they had a three-day journey to get back to Canaan. 3 days. This whole thing took them over 40 years to complete. But instead of taking the route that would take them right back to their land, God said, follow me, and he took them through caverns and canyons. This is known as the wilderness. There's nothing there. There are several spots. It's only 300 yards wide. And Pharaoh, if you read it, go and look at your Bible, it says, well, they've gotten lost. He wasn't concerned because it was a dead end on the other end. But God had a plan. He wanted to show Pharaoh who was boss. Now, I guess we should read some scripture this morning, shouldn't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. It says, pursue love. Now, I want you to understand something here. This is a problem with people that get in my, what I'm going to call over or hyper spiritual. How about that? It says, pursue love, does it not? But desire spiritual gifts. We've got this backwards. We're pursuing gifts. And we desire to be loved. It doesn't say, it says, pursue love. When we cannot operate the gifts in love, they're no longer gifts. They're tools of abuse. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Because prophecy is the edification of the church. Prophecy doesn't come in and say, you know, thus saith the Lord, in 6 months you'll be a billionaire. I'm going to tell you what, somebody gives me that prophecy, I'm going to write it down the very hour they gave it. And 6 months to the second, if it has not come to pass, they are a liar and never to be listened to again. That is the word of God. Well, Pastor, you know, you said something about them prophecies are contingent. Listen, for me to be a billionaire, it's going to take God's hand. So no amount of investing I can do in 6 months is going to make me a billionaire. So it's all God. It has nothing to do with anything I could do. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. See, when we're speaking in tongues, we don't know what we're saying. Only the Spirit does. And we're speaking mysteries. If you're going to pray for me, I really don't want you praying in tongues over me. I want to know what you're praying. I want to be able to say yes and amen. Tongues is a point of, like you said, speaking mysteries back to God. They're mysteries to us, but the Spirit knows what's going on. And I talked to you, I think it was the last time I got to preach, that when we can pray properly in love, there's not a whole lot of need to have to pray in tongues. I can pray for my sister with what God has showed me if I will be obedient, instead of saying, oh, I know what's in her heart. Oh, Lord, blah, 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 blah. No, Lord, you know what she needs. Minister to her. Show her your love. Show her your power. But we can't, because if the second we see somebody's heart, into their heart, we judge them. And that's why we have to pray in tongues. Now, verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now there are tongues that come through, or the prophecies that come through in a tongue. And we're not going to get to that point today to read where it talks about this. But it says there must be an interpreter. And if you are the one bringing forth that tongue, pray that you get the interpretation, is what the Apostle Paul said. We need for prophecy to build up the church. So many people come in and they try to bring prophecy in just because, well, they feel a little tingle. Prophecy is so much more than a tingle. I think I've brought forth one or two words. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't anything, and I'm used to speaking in front of you now. I think I've been myself as much as I possibly can be to you. You know me now. But even those words kind of were hard for me to bring forth because I couldn't generate them. I think so many people today are so caught up in feeling the need that they have to prophesy over people that they forget the greatest prophecy I can give you is love. The greatest words I can ever speak to you are love. The greatest demonstration of power is love. Not an eyeball growing back. That's fabulous. Especially for the guy who got the eyeball back. But if we all came in here every Sunday and it was just tongues, 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 you're going to go out wondering, what did I learn? And if you're, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of you are probably a lot like me. The reason I speak so many words is because sometimes we forget them by the time we get to the door. But maybe one or two words stuck. Maybe that's what you got hold of. You know, if you sit down for a nice dinner, the last thing that you, the thing you desired the most will be what you remember about that dinner. If you love baked potatoes, forget the steak. By the way, yes, I am very hungry. Downside is I can only eat little bits of anything. And I was telling Joe and Faye this morning that the only two things that I found that really haven't upset my stomach too crazy have been sugar and bacon. That's not good. because we have no more bacon at home. And then even then, I can only eat a couple pieces. So, but the prophecies come to build us up, to encourage us. And typically when a prophecy comes to encourage us, it's because there's going to be a test. When she was pregnant with Jesse, we had somebody come to the church and he asked, "Can I pray over your baby?" "Well, yeah, I have no problem with you praying over my baby. Unless you start saying something stupid, then look out." And he began to prophesy over Jesse. Now, didn't think a whole heck of a lot about anything until April 1st of 2000, when she started into early labor and she was quite a ways away from being due. And then when he was born, premature, and he fought for his life, that's when the prophecy edified. Because we stood together and said, "You will run with the gospel. People will follow you." That's when prophecy kicks in to its edification. Oh, it was good to hear those words when he was praying. "Oh, yes, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. Our little boy's going to be a godly man." But when the devil comes in like a flood and tries to destroy what God has ordained, you have the responsibility of standing. And there's only one thing you can do, and that is dig in and stand. It may not, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, it's not a pretty sight. People think that, "Oh, I got to keep my composure during this battle." The first thing that goes out the window is how you look. Because very shortly, you're covered in smoke and mud and blood if you're in a combat zone. If you're in a fight, that's what happens. Kind of like crawling into the cage with an MMA fighter and say, we gotta look good here, you know. Don't want to, man, first off, there's no way I'd crawl in any cage with some guy that can kick me in the side of the head and knock me out. But see, that prophecy edified. It built us up in a very weakened time. So that when God gave us our next marching orders, we were ready. Why? Because we said, "God, you saw us through that. You took us through that. We walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And you just want us to start a church?" I didn't know what the valley of the shadow of death really looked like. No. No. I got to be honest with you, folks. It has not been that bad. I jest, but it really has not been. Yeah, there's been some ding-a-lings that come along and try. We've had people come in here, try to bring forth goofy prophecies and stuff of that nature. But it really hasn't been that bad. And I have to say, it's because God equipped me for it. But if we want to move on, we have to live. You still got to go out and get a job. I knew one guy, I have no idea where the devil he pulled out this information from, but he said the money he worked for was his and it was God's responsibility to pay his bills. Yeah! How many of y'all know he lost his house? Because somebody gave some goofy prophecy. Somebody went unchecked with a spiritual gift. That is why here in this church, I encourage prophecy. But if you've got a word for somebody else in this church, I'm the first person you bring it to. Because I'm the judge. Well, Pastor, it sounds like you're just trying to control things. That's kind of the job of a shepherd. You know that there's disease coming in, what do? You stop it. Hey, there's a wolf over there. You go get the sheep away from the wolf. Somebody's got a prophecy, and I've done this. Joanne would come from time to time and say, Pastor, I have a word for somebody. She'd tell me. I said, all right, let's go to the person. She'd give them the word. I'd say, all right, does that bear witness with you? And if they said yes. And sometimes they'd say, well, I don't fully understand everything. I said, well, that's where you put it on the shelf and you watch. But in all these cases, they were never meant to control and direct your life. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That is what I don't want you relying on somebody else to be more spiritual. I don't see the sense in that. God has called us all to be powerful, to be sensitive to His leadings and His guidings. Because one, I can't be with you always. And you can't always have somebody who's spiritually guiding you around. Sometimes you got to make an instant decision and you got to know that you know that you know the Holy Spirit led you through it. Well, Pastor, what if I make the wrong decision? Deal with it. The worst thing you can do is not make a decision. That's what they taught us in Marine Corps leadership. If you make the wrong decision, you'll know it. Deal with it. Otherwise, make a decision. People are dying because of your indecisiveness. You may die. Oh, Lord, you know, Lord, I just don't. I knew people that were in business and they just said, I just didn't, you know, because they knew some things about the person. You know, they weren't as holy as they thought they should have been. Well, you know, I don't think I should be doing business with them. They're paying you. Who cares? I've done work for homosexual couples, folks. Hey, money's money. You need to figure out which fight you're really willing to take on. By the way, you're never going to legislate morality, so knock it off. The abortion issue will not be won by us legislating it. Yes, I've never married them. Now, that does go against my beliefs. And in this country, I am protected, contrary to what the ACLU thinks. You know, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. However, that doesn't mean we're not to love them. Well, they're homosexuals. The Bible says that's an abomination. Yeah, so is a lying tongue there, Lucifer. So is a prideful and arrogant heart, Lucifer. There's so much that's on the same plane, we've singled out this. Most of the people that turn to homosexuality are seeking one thing anyhow. Love. And they will find it however they have to. Isn't that what we always look at? A young girl who goes running off with guys, oh, her daddy must not have loved her and all this stuff. She's just looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, isn't that what we say? There's songs about it. I'm thinking of one right now thanks to that. But you see, spiritual gifts, if you will get over your spiritual pride, can help you minister to people like that. People who are hurting. I'm not saying we accept sin. But I'm also saying let's quit judging people and crucifying them when we're guilty of the same things. They aren't ever going to come to Jesus because, listen, I don't want to serve Allah. Allah tells you to kill people for being different. That's not a God I want to serve. I don't want to serve any God that tells me to kill babies. I don't want to serve any God that says I got to take drugs to just so I can see them. And from what I've heard about some drugs, you see all kinds of things. I know one person saw the Grim Reaper outside his hospital room. So, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. You do see some things. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Pretty much all Paul said was here, those who build up the church are greater than those that just build up themselves. That's what he said. And by the way, the word prophesy means anything is to bring forth encouragement to build up. I'm prophesying right now. I'm building you up. Because I promise you, you can ask my family, I have not been this coherent in a week. At least I think I'm coherent. I don't know, maybe if I listen to the recording later, it might be. How's the people sitting there? What on earth? But the gift of prophecy should be respected, but not forcing us to live in a fear. If you don't understand something and it ain't happening, put it on a shelf and live your stinking doggone life. If I had chose to live by all the prophecies that were given before, by the way, I want you to know something. We had a couple here that I knew when I was 10 at that one church that kind of went goofy. The pastor told them that I would preach. I was 10. He never told me that. But he told that couple, because they told me later, they said, he said you would preach. Now, he went astray. But that is what happens when we do not properly respect the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the roles that God gives us. God didn't put me in your life to control you. I don't want to control my family. I want them to be free. I want them to be happy. And nobody is happy and free when somebody else is pulling the strings. And prophecy is not a string puller. We will go into, if it is a prophecy from God, if it was truly thus said the Lord, it will happen. You're not changing it. Just like you're not going to change the beast rising up. You're not going to change any of that. You're not going to change when Jesus returns. Jesus don't even know when he's going to return. Why are we fighting over it? But if we would receive the edification that God has intended for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be, and when they're done properly, the church will grow. The church, and when I say grow, I mean in strength. I still get amazed at how many people you're running now. I don't know. Just ever periodically, the ushers will count and tell me. But other than that, I really don't care. I'd have preached the same message last week had I been able to stand. Yeah, exactly. That's what I heard. There wasn't a whole lot of people here last week anyhow. But there are people. They will change the message. Well, because there's only 10 people here. I can't preach this message. This is for 1,000. I remember Andrew Womack, or Womack. What is he? Womack? Okay, yeah, it's the other one's Leanne Womack. Andrew Womack. Said, you know, God told him, what was that, going to preach for 9,000. Going to preach thousands and thousands. He said the first time he got to preach, there was 9 people. And he said, God, what do I do? And he said, you preach to that 9 as if it was 9,000. Now he gets to preach to millions. But you see, when we try to filter and do control the gift of God, we're going to talk about things here about controlling, because the Bible does say that these gifts are under our control, but we're not going to get to them today. But I guess what God really laid on my heart this week was for you to understand, I am not against tongues. I am not against prophecy. It has its place. It has an order. We're going to talk about all of that here in 1 Corinthians 14. It's time it quits getting abused. It's time preachers of the charismatic realm quit sitting back and say, well, you know, we don't control. Yes, we do. Everything that is in order has to be put in order, not by God, but by us. Well, pass. I mean, I know, we're about to read it where it says God is a God of order. Who did he put on this earth to put things in order? That'd be us-ins. That's you and me. He didn't set angels here to put the earth in order. He put us here to put things in order. My garden, it looks great when I keep it in order. But if I don't go out and we don't get it, the weeds pulled, and things staked back up, it looks like a mess. It's out of order. The plants don't grow right. The fruit doesn't grow right. It has to be maintained. And if we don't take care of it, we don't get good fruit. I want you to have good fruit. I want you to have happiness and joy in your life. Prosperity. But I don't want your desire, your purpose in life to seek prosperity. I want you to seek the joy of the Lord, which comes in love. I look back at where I came from, where I've been, where, you know, how I've brought my children up, and I look back and I think, dear Lord, how have I made it? How have I survived these 26 years of marriage? I better keep moving on that. Of adulthood, how have we survived? Trusting God. That's it. Growing in love. I love this woman more today than 26 years ago. And I love God today more than I did yesterday. Because when I'm thinking, oh God, is it really worth it? And then I see all of you. Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. And God gave me thick skin. Gave me thick skin, and he lets me go off out behind the barn and frazzle, frazzle, brickin', brickin', let it all out. And then he says, it'll be all right, boy. When I hear the word boy, that's when I know I maybe have pushed it a little too much. But don't ever think that just because somebody gave you a prophecy, first off, it may not have been for you. And there are times that people who gave prophecies were just goofy. I'm sorry. They're just goofy. They're just wackadoodles. Not everything Nostradamus ever said came true. Not everything Balaam ever said came true. And you need to understand this about some of these people. They did say things that came true. We'll talk about prophets here later sometime. Balaam wasn't necessarily a prophet of the Lord. Okay? I know he shows up in our Bible. So does Nimrod. But Nimrod did not serve God. Balaam had been a prophet, a seer to the kings for years. That's why those other kings came to him. They knew his power. Anybody want to guess about how old Balaam was when he and Moses had their dealings? He was about 300. Don't ever think for one minute that you know everything. When I read that, I was like, no. And that's it, you won't find it here. It's in other books that are used for historical references. But he was over 300 years old. Moses wasn't. This man had been advising kings hundreds of years before Moses ever came about. So, don't ever think that just because somebody gave a prophecy, you got to live it. Listen, not every word that was ever spoken has ever come to pass. Because like I said, sometimes, just as in the motorcycle thing, it was merely a proper interpretation. It wasn't that I was going to wreck my bike. It was the fact that the person I felt myself becoming was changing me. So don't think for one minute that we can't live our lives. Right, and that's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was a prophetic warning is what it was. But that man was taking it, you're going to die on your motorcycle. No, I shared with my wife, said I feel I'm becoming somebody different. And while I wanted to keep the bike and, you know, as my boys got older, them get motorcycles, you know, we all could go riding and stuff. I loved riding. But the person I was becoming by myself wasn't who I wanted to be. So that prophecy was indeed a warning to me. And sometimes that's what it is. And sometimes you changed it already. Because I know other people that have, somebody gave them a word and they left because of that word. But honestly, I can see why that pastor got that word. If something didn't change in their lives were going to be destroyed. And whether they liked it or not, they probably changed something not knowing it. Sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm drifting a little close to the line, you know what pushes me over real quick? A semi coming at me. I'll wake up and get back on my side of the road. A warning. Sometimes that's all it takes, isn't it? It's just a warning. Hey, beep, 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 beep. You know, Bob's got this little detector in the mirrors of his vehicle that it picks up as it the line on the side of the road. When they got it, if you're like me, sometimes I'll drift over. It just depends on how I'm comfortable. If I'm leaning this way, I'm going to drift on that line a lot. Well, they'd go down the road, beep, 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 beep. That stupid thing constantly going off. It's warning you, hey, you're close to the line. I can't tell you how many times I run the rumble strips. Oh, I meant to do that. Warnings. Sometimes that's what prophecy is. Like I said, next week we'll go more into... No, we won't. Next week we'll talk about more about what Jesus did. But we will pick up more on about the Holy Spirit. But I want you to fully understand, I am not against tongues. I speak in tongues. I'm not against prophecy. If somebody's got a viable word from God, I'll receive it. But I've had people try to give me words that I'm like, it just doesn't quite fit on anything that I understand about God. Yeah, exactly. And just as, you know, as I was sharing earlier, the witness. God already told me certain things. He showed me certain things. That's why I had the confidence to say, okay, I'm going to step out and preach. Because God was already bringing it out. All right, let's stand. And I'll tell you one thing. God has definitely made me more compassionate to people that have to miss because they're sick. I kid you not. I've been in churches where, you didn't miss. I didn't go to work when I was sick. Well, I went to work, fever. Yeah, and you know what? You could have got somebody killed on your job too. Well, if I stayed home from work because I was sick, I was running a fever and shaking and things of that nature. But just, I'll be honest with you, it's just the sheer stupidity that we do that to ourselves. Macho, my great granddaddy, he never missed a day of work. Yeah, that's why he died at 55. Mine did. Massive heart attack. Probably one of the hardest working men you'd ever get to meet, I guess. I never got to meet him. My dad never got to meet him. So, just stop and think about it. But anyhow, it is good to see you. It really is. I do want to say this, though. We're going to, lost a little bit of time here on building project. We are going to be moving forward here. I got to get some more electric connected and some things run. But this is where I'm asking for those who are 30 years and younger. We need muscle. We need your strength. We got drywall to bring in. They're 12-foot sheets, 5/8 thick. They're about 100 pounds apiece. You can do it. I've carried them by myself this year. Okay, I'm 46. I'm not doing it no more. They kicked my butt. But it was raining and I had to do it. So I'm going to ask those of you, we're going to need to help putting them in, bringing them in and then hanging them. I found somebody who can finish for us. So those of you that hate finishing drywall as much as I do, praise the Lord and hallelujah. But we've got some things. We got a lot of stuff done the week before last. As I told Phil, though, I said, I think inadvertently we kind of messed ourselves over a little bit because pretty much I think Rob is the only one who was able to make it to church the next day. But, Caleb, I guess, Caleb and Jesse. But Phil and I, we were kaput. So, but we are going to continue pushing forward to getting that done. I want it done. We want to try to get the one classroom up as quick as possible and get the hallways in so that we can start using the main door. And when we do that, we will use the main door. This will become an emergency door only. So I know it'll be a hard thing to tell yourself, I got to go through those doors. But we will get things switched around and maneuvered around. So anyhow, let's pray. Yes, baby bottles. Yep. Okay, if y'all didn't hear that, if you got a baby bottle, you've been filling with change. If you didn't bring it this week, bring it next week, please, so we can turn it in and help support a really good cause, in my opinion. And my opinion on that holds water. Hallelujah. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for new life. We thank you for what spring represents. But Lord, we also thank you for the reason why we can celebrate new life is because of what Jesus did for us. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and for the many things that you've done and you use to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray now that you help every last one of us, Father. I know many of us have suffered abuse at the hands of those who were so-called spiritual, and they manipulated their gifts to control. Lord, I pray that you help us to grow past that and to forgive and to move on and to become the people that you called us to be. And Lord, I thank you and praise you now that as we leave here, Lord God, those who are still dealing with effects of this sickness, Lord God, that you are continuing to heal us and touch us. Lord, we pray for those who are at home now who are dealing with this. Lord, we pray that you touch them, heal them. Lord God, break this fever. We curse the bacteria that is causing this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you and praise you now that you're moving in their lives this week, Father. You're restoring strength. You're giving them wisdom. You're giving them clear direction in Jesus' name. Amen.